Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concisions. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. I want us to look at verse 10, the first part of 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. The overall theme of the book of Philippians is the progress of the gospel. Paul's joy was rooted in the progress of the gospel. As I think about that, nothing ought to bring us greater joy than the gospel being progressed. As we look into this scripture tonight, I want us to just think in our hearts as we study this chapter in Philippians. What brings you great joy? What brings you great joy? This morning we had, in both services, we had at the invitation time someone raise their hand and acknowledge the fact they needed to be saved. Does that bring you great joy? Hearing about testimonies of someone hearing the gospel for the very first time and never even knowing about Jesus, but God working in their lives to bring them to a place where they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and someone trusting Christ as their Savior, to bring you great joy. Someone growing up in a Christian home and putting their thought of salvation on who their parents are or what the home they were brought into, but then Christ convicting them, the Holy Spirit of God working in their heart, and they trusting Christ as their Savior. This is a wonderful thing. As Christians, our joy ought to come from the gospel being sent forth. But as Christians, what brings you joy? Paul here in the book of Philippians, he deals with two main things here in Philippians. Number one, he deals with personal problems within the church. And the second thing he deals with is doctrinal problems within the church. He deals with those two issues here. Both of these can stop the progress of the gospel. If there's personal problems within the church and those problems aren't being dealt with, then it causes the gospel not to be the main thing. Doctrinal issues, doctrinal problems. Paul is dealing with in these verses some that believe that circumcision is necessary to be saved. If there's doctrinal issues, then it could also stop the progress of the gospel. If something's being taught other than faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, it can stop the progress of the gospel. We find Paul coming to chapter 3, and he says this in verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He tells them to rejoice, and he also tells them who to rejoice in. He doesn't say rejoice in your good works, rejoice in something that you've done. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice, and he says rejoice in the Lord. Christian, we ought to rejoice in who he is, and we ought to rejoice in the Lord. And there's many times in our lives that the only thing we have to rejoice in is the Lord. You ever been there? It just seems like everything else has fallen apart. We look at our life and we really don't have anything else that we can take joy in. And Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice. In each and every one of us, we can rejoice. If we know Jesus Christ, we can rejoice. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. It doesn't matter what's falling apart. It doesn't matter what circumstances you're dealing with. You can rejoice in the Lord. Nothing else seems to be going right. We can still rejoice in the Lord. When we get down or we feel like nothing is right, we need to stop and We need to think of some things. What do I have because I am in the Lord? What do I have that's worth rejoicing? If I'm rejoicing in the Lord, what do I have? You know, I have forgiveness of sins. If everything else in my life is going wrong, I can rejoice in the Lord because I have forgiveness of sin. I don't have to pay my own sin debt. Jesus Christ died for me. He loves me. He gives me eternal life. I have forgiveness of sin. That is something worth rejoicing in. You know, I also have forgiveness of guilt. I don't have to live with the guilt of my sin. When Jesus saved me, he washed away my sin. When God sees me now, he sees me in Christ. He doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as a child of God. I am forgiven of my guilt. That's something to rejoice in. I can rejoice because I have home in heaven. You know, those and the many others that could have given a testimony tonight about their salvation, what we're saying is simply this. I can rejoice this evening because I have a home in heaven. The song that we heard sang tonight is something worth rejoicing in. I have a home in heaven. You know, I have a father in heaven. I can't wait to see him. And I have other family members in heaven that I can't wait to see them. But I can't wait to see Jesus Christ. Heaven, something worth rejoicing in. I can rejoice because I have the Holy Spirit of God that works in my life, that speaks to me and challenges me, that instructs me. I can rejoice because I have the Bible. You know how many people in this world cannot take a Bible in their own language and open a Bible and read it for themselves? There's over 3,000 still languages that need the Word of God. They don't have the privilege that we have. It doesn't matter what has happened to us today. We have a Bible that we can open up and we can rejoice in the fact that we can read God's Word. Something worth rejoicing in. We can rejoice because we have a church. Do you thank God for your church? Think about all the sin you didn't commit because you got saved. Now, we might have said, you know, as a testimony tonight, I wish I would have known earlier and I would have lived maybe differently. And if I wasn't so maybe so old when I got saved, I would have had a life a little bit better. But think about all the sin you haven't committed because you are saved now. You can rejoice in that. Think about all the tears that you didn't have to shed because you got saved. Where would you be tonight without salvation? Where would you be? You might not have a lot to be happy about, but we need to find joy in what you have in the Lord. You say, there's things in my life, it's hard to be happy. We don't have to necessarily be happy. We need to find joy in the Lord. There's some things that maybe you're going through, some circumstances that you're feeling, some sickness or some pain you're going through. And you say, it's hard to be happy, but you can still have joy if you find joy in the Lord. Sometimes that has to be sufficient. Christian, sometimes finding joy in the Lord, that just has to be sufficient. Sometimes your problems are going to have to remain, but we can still find joy in the Lord. And here Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You know what he's saying here? He's saying you can handle this. Safe. To you this is safe. Just rejoice in the Lord and nothing else. Don't look for things of this world to find joy in. Don't look for things around you to find joy in. You can find joy in the Lord, and that is sufficient. There's nothing else needed to find joy, and we can rest by finding joy in the Lord. He says in verse number 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of these folks that go in and teach falsely. There are people that transgress and go where they have no business going. He says, beware. Beware of those that do business, that have no business in going and doing what they're doing. They came into Philippi and put way too much emphasis on the works of the flesh. So they came in and began to teach and began to say that there's circumcision that needs to be done, the works of the flesh. You've got to work. You've got to do certain things. They came in and said to the Gentiles, if you're going to be saved, that you must be circumcised as well. And Paul says, beware of those evil workers, beware of those that try to put more on salvation than what God requires for salvation. Beware of those that say that there's more to salvation than faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're teaching and preaching false doctrine. Beware of those that teach a salvation other than Jesus Christ. Beware of those that say that you must work. Beware of those that say that there's things that you must do. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. In verse number 3, he goes on to say, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul says, I want to tell you that what real circumcision is. Real circumcision is we worship God in spirit. He said, I want to tell you what real circumcision is. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Real circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. He said, I want you to learn really what needs to be done. We need to worship God in spirit. That's what's important. What we do, the works that we do, none of that is important. The works of the flesh, none of that is important. We need to worship God in spirit. That's how Christians ought to worship. He says we ought to rejoice in Christ. That means this, we ought to find our joy, we ought to find our contentment in Jesus Christ, not the things of this world. And so many times, Christian, if we're not careful, we as Christians are looking for peace, we're looking for contentment, we're looking for rest, we're looking for confidence in something other than Jesus Christ. I am a political junkie like the best of them. Matter of fact, my kids, they know exactly, will get home and they'll say, do you want me to turn to channel 64 for you, Dad? I've got them trained. I find myself, if not careful, I find myself getting worried and getting upset and getting stressed about things. And I have to come back to the place where I rejoice in Christ Jesus. I don't rejoice because of the wealth of a country or because of the success of a country. We rejoice in who Jesus Christ is. I want to remind you this, that the apostles served Christ even when things weren't going their way. I want to remind you the apostles served Christ even when their country was in bondage to another country. The apostles served Christ even when they were trying to kill those that preached Jesus Christ. The apostles served Christ even when it meant death. They rejoiced in who Jesus was. They weren't trying to find it in other things. They weren't trying to find it in the things of this world. We can rejoice and we ought to rejoice because of who Jesus is. In Christian tonight, we need to decide that no matter what happens in this world, I am going to rejoice in Jesus Christ. He says this as well, verse number 3, no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I can't do this. We can only do it through Him. You know, there's so often I want to be a good husband, but you know what? I come to the conclusion every single time, I can't be one in my own flesh. I want to be a good father, but I come to the conclusion every single time that I don't know how to be one in my own flesh. I want to be a good Christian, but I can't be one in my own flesh. I need to be one. I can't have confidence in my flesh. I can only be what God wants me to be with His help, in His power, in His strength. Nothing I can do on my own. Real circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. And these false teachers are teaching those Christians here in Philippi, teaching them to emphasize the wrong thing. We need to be careful, Christian, that we're not putting the emphasis on the wrong thing in our life. We ought to be careful we're not putting the emphasis on the wrong things in our life. We need to put our emphasis on worshiping God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and having no confidence in the flesh. In verse number 4, we move on. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's going to prove to them from his own life that circumcision is not the important thing. Paul's saying that these people, they're telling you that circumcision is the most important thing. And Paul's saying, I've lived it. I've done it. Paul says I know exactly what they're saying. I'm the more. I've been there. I've done that. I understand it. And I want you to understand that it is not what we put our emphasis in. They're putting too much into the flesh. Paul is then going to list all the things in the flesh that he did concerning zeal, persecuting the church, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And he goes on in verse number 5 and in 6, and he goes on with the whole list of things that he has done. And he's showing them, he's going into this place where he says none of those things were important for salvation. He says, I have a lot of advantages. His physical birth, he was of the stock of Israel. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He has ministry advantage. He was a Pharisee in verse number 5. He had real personal ambition. He had great zeal. But in verse number 7, he says, none of these things have nothing to do with my salvation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter where I came from. It doesn't matter the house I lived in. It doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is this. Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ? That is all that matters for salvation. You know, there are some people in the world that they've done so much wrong. They've done so much bad. They just think that I can't be saved. You don't know my testimony. You don't know my past. Aren't you so glad to know that it doesn't matter what you've done in the past? It doesn't matter what sins you've committed in the past. Jesus Christ still died for you. Every sin you ever committed, he went to the cross. He shed his blood to be the payment of that sin. And it doesn't matter what you've done. He still loves you and he can still save you. Don't let Satan think that you've done too much, that the blood of Jesus Christ isn't powerful enough to forgive you of your sin. But there's some that do. None of these things have anything to do with his salvation, Paul says in verse 7. In verse number 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ." He says, when it comes to my salvation, everything is as dung. Everything else means nothing. The things that I obtain in this world mean nothing. The titles after my name mean nothing. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Paul is teaching and getting the church at Philippi to understand this so they would take this truth and their lives would be centered around the gospel. So they would live these truths and they would teach and preach this truth. You see, Christian, if we're not careful, our lives can get so busy, get so wrapped up in things, can get so complicated that we miss out on what we're supposed to do as a child of God. Our responsibility is to live this truth and to proclaim this truth. Our responsibility, as we look this morning with Mary, as even some of those testimonies we heard this evening, there needs to be Christians that are committed to sharing Christ in who He is so others have the opportunity to know Him. How many of you were saved as an adult? Wow. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I grew up in a Christian home and parents in the ministry and heard the gospel. I heard the gospel being preached 9 months before I was born. I wasn't paying much attention, but I heard it. Paul was saying this, it's imperative, it's important for us to come to the place where the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our life. What are you consumed with tonight? What's consuming you? Are you consumed with the stresses of this world? Are you consumed with anxiety? Are you consumed with problems and hurt and in sickness and pain? What's consuming you? Where's your emphasis? What does your life represent? Does your life represent Jesus Christ as we're reading here in Philippians chapter number 3? Is your life representing joy and rejoicing in who Christ is and what He does and in worshiping God in spirit, rejoicing in Christ and having no confidence in the flesh? Verse number 9, the Bible says, and it goes on, "And we have found in Him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You can't keep the law. My faith puts me in Christ. Nothing you do in your effort is accepted by God. Only what is done in Christ. You can try to keep the law all day long only to find out this. You're going to not be able to keep the law. It's my faith in Christ. God accepts only what's done in Christ. In verse number 10, "that I may know Him." Well, that's a wonderful statement. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering, that I may know Him and be made conformable unto His death, or the pattern after His death. Paul said to know Him is better than being a Jew. Know Him is better than anything else in his life. To know Him, to know Jesus Christ. Nothing in this life you can do that is satisfying more than knowing Him. Just listen to those that are going after the things of this world. And I hear these things. I hear those that go after fame and go after fortune only to find nothing and be hopeless. Those that have everything in life. I hope they really understand that the things of this world mean nothing, but to know Him means everything. You listen to things that are going on in Hollywood. You listen to things that are going on in this world that if we're not careful, we can put up as idols to our children and our families and only to find that, well, no matter how much money you have, wealth means nothing. They can't get enough. No matter how many drugs you can put in your body, it means nothing. You just can't get enough. No matter how much alcohol you can consume, it's never enough. No matter what the things of this world are, it's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough.
enough. And Paul here says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Church, nothing satisfies like knowing him. Our young people, our children, our teenagers need to know this. Nothing satisfies like knowing Jesus Christ. The things of this world, we put more emphasis on doing, if we're not careful, doing his work than knowing the person of the work. Knowing him affects our eternal existence. A little girl, she's riding in the car with her dad, and little girl fell out of the car. Door opened and she fell out. I was driving home today and my new car, it tells me if a door's open. I wasn't paying attention. I was just rehearsing my mind the morning, and I got about home and I realized this, the door that Lily was sitting on, it said it was open the whole way home. She didn't know it. I didn't know it. This story's not me. Trust me. It's another little daddy and girl, or another dad and little girl. Little girl fell out of the car. Daddy came over and stopped the car and ran over to her and apologized and felt bad and crying and picked her up and just so upset with himself that he could allow it. And he said to his little girl, I'm so sorry that I let you fall out of the car. She said, Daddy, you didn't make me fall out. I stayed too close where I got in. You know, and that's how many Christians are. They stayed too close where they got in. Stayed too close to the things of the world. Stayed too close to the things that they think satisfy. They're always falling out, always getting hurt, always getting bruised. The solution to that is growing in Christ. The solution to that is putting our emphasis on the worship of God, rejoicing in Christ, having no confidence in this flesh. I say tonight we commit to grow in Christ, be rooted in him. Hard times are going to come. Difficulties are going to come. I believe this more than ever, Christian, if the Lord tarries his coming, it's going to be more and more difficult to be a Christian in this world. Some of us need to not stay so close where we moved in so we're not so easily to fall out when that comes. Some of us need to move a little bit over. I like that old story. I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. The old husband and wife were driving the old pickup truck. When they first started dating, it looked like there was one person with two heads, if you're viewing from behind. Now they sit as far apart as you can, leaned against the doors. And the lady looked over to her husband that's driving the truck, and she said, remember when we used to look like a two-headed person? He looked over and he said to her, I haven't moved. I'm still here. What he was saying was, you're the one that moved over, moved over, moved over. Some of us tonight, we just need to come back, move over, grow in Christ, not have confidence in our flesh, rejoice in the Lord.